You notice we started a new book from the Old Testament. There's two books, the books of Maccabees. Maccabeus means hammer. And they were hammers. Now you can see the same dynamic, right? It's not hard to talk people out of obeying God, because we have a cooperating principle within us for that, you know? And so they said, why do we have to be so odd and different? And everybody makes fun of us and thinks we're odd, and we eat, have a strict dietary laws, and we circumcise our children, our boys, at 8 days, and we, oh, you know, everybody thinks we're nuts and we're odd. Why don't we just conform to everybody else? Well, you notice what happens when people start that, you see? The others were killed. Those who wanted to remain faithful to God were killed. Now, what's that got to do with it? You want to have your customs and your laws and your and sacrifice pigs to gods and all that. That's all right. You know, it's not all right, but you know. Why do they have to kill those who are faithful to God? And it always happens. You see? Because they can't stand the truth. And since they're not going to win over everybody, they're going to have to kill them. And that's when Judas Maccabeus began. Huh? That'll happen tomorrow. You mean that event? You know that event where they're trying to force this person to... And Judas Maccabeus gets up and kills the governor and says, everybody with me, let's go. So they went out to the mountains and formed an army. And it was a ragtag army. But they beat the daylights out of the Syrians when they came down. And they weren't too gentle, you know what I mean? But they understood that a way of life will either bind you to God or make you an enemy of God. And so when you see all these things happen, you know, a lot of them happen in regard to sexuality. I mean, look at the movies. Some of those movies would not even have been allowed to have been made, much less shown, 20 years ago. It's an incessant battle. And the unfortunate thing is, a part of ourselves goes along with that, you know. And so it's an incessant battle in our own life. And so Judas Maccabeus comes, and he gets an army. And finally, the whole Syrian army comes down to... beat them up, and the Maccabees cream them because God is with them. And so now we don't start wars and that sort of stuff, but can you see? Faith must become a culture. You cannot live a way of life that is opposed to your faith, or you'll lose your faith. And so, there's a phrase, it's John Paul II's, I think that's who it is. Anyway, faith which does not become culture is a faith which has not been fully accepted, thoroughly imbued, and carefully acted out. It won't, if faith creates a culture, it has to. It has to create a way of life, a standard of judgments, you see? And that means people who want to obey God and train their children and to love God and to pray to Him, they're going to be oddballs. And if the culture gets bad enough, they could be persecuted. That all that sort of thing is already, in a way, you know, happening. And it's important that we recognize this. This one of the most shocking things that recently I just found out about it the other day watching the TV with Bob and Joanne, that the government has put out ads pitched to the youth saying, you know, if you get involved in this, you know, your condoms will be free and you're going to, you know, I mean, it's you know, it's in this, what do you call them, Obamacare thing. Where is that coming from? You know, to corrupt a culture. The Romans were the finest, the Italiani, who were Romani, not the ones they got later to work for them, were the greatest soldiers in the world. They conquered the world. And then they got rich, fat, and oversexed, and collapsed. Satan knows what he's doing. So this is the beginning of the story of the rebellion and the Maccabees, the Maccabean revolt. And it worked, you know, the feast in December, Hanukkah, is commemorating the day that the Maccabees reconsecrated the temple. Had a pagan idol in the temple. Of course, they got rid of that, you know, blew it up or did whatever they did. And then they reconsecrated the whole temple. And that's the feast of Hanukkah. So at least we could say, well, what about my own culture? Or what about my family's culture? Where are we going? Okay. I got to keep going here. The gospel is beautiful. It's beautiful. And what is it about? Being pushy. This poor blind man is there, and we're having a, you know, Jesus is walking along, and we're all with them, and we're having a good time, and this nut wants to start crying out and disturb the whole parade. And that's the one Jesus likes the best. Because he gets it. Everybody else is happy to hang around with Jesus and see some miracles and clap and do whatever. This guy knows he's got a need. He can't see. And so he cries out, Jesus, Son of David, Ben David, that's a messianic title, remember? God promised David there would be a man from his line. Would be the one to sit on his throne and reign. So Ben David, he knows who he's calling out to. This is the Messiah. And he's blind. He's the only one there who sees. And Jesus is touched. He goes over, what would you like me to do? And every text has a little different, you know, how he answers. Lord, please let me see. He doesn't say, you know, if you could do this. He knows he can do it. He just says, you know, please let me see. He doesn't have to give a big speech. So Jesus says, have sight. Your faith, and this translation has said, saved you. It's okay. I mean, epistis sou seisophkense. Your faith has saved you. But the word sozin, to save, means to save from sickness, to save from danger, to save from eternal death, to save, you know, it's that kind of a word. And so when Jesus uses it, he means your faith healed you, but it did more than that. It set you on the right path. And Mark, I forgot whether Matthew does this or not, but Mark surely does. So he's rejoicing, and he followed him on the way. Does that mean he just walked along with him? Or does it mean the way, which is Christianity? This is a story of conversion and enlightenment, not only of his eyes. this one, all the people gave praise to God. Marvelous, God, great. And it is great, isn't it? When people are healed. And right now, it's the great best way to preach the gospel is to heal. Whenever Jesus sent the disciples out, he sent them out to preach and to heal. Right? Surely then, if he wants us to spread the gospel, he wants us to preach and to heal. And he'll do it. Some of the healings are like audiovisual aids. A few times in my life, I've been preaching away, and somebody deaf was healed. I had nothing to do with it. I mean, I was just the occasion or the instrument. I mean, I wasn't even be healed. I was just preaching. And people who are deaf got healed. Now, why did God do that? To demonstrate my eminent sanctity? No. To say, look, I can do this and much more for every one of you if you just come to me. So let's stand.